I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark. There are four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want you to turn to the very second Gospel. It is the shortest Gospel, but it is a power-packed Gospel. We're beginning a series of messages today that we're calling Deep Soul Fishing. And it all began really, quite frankly, with this vision, because today we are literally seeing a dream come true. And yet, who would have dreamed 15 months ago that we would be where we are today? Think about it. 71 acres of prime land in the heart of Gwinnett County, 350,000 square feet of buildings, property once for sale for $23 million, given by some men with a heart for God, located next to Interstate 85, less than 1 mile from the Civic Center, the Gwinnett Arena, the Chamber of Commerce, a location where 120,000 cars go by our church property every day, and 100,000 of them stop at Discover Mills. 20 minutes from 1.2 million people, including 600,000, with no church home. And here we are today meeting for the first time in a state-of-the-art 1,500-seat worship center. There is no doubt we have one of the greatest, most strategic locations for a church in this city, in this state, and in this nation. I got up this morning. I was here last night just praying before the Lord. And the Lord impressed upon my heart. I don't know that anybody in this country will ever be given a more strategic opportunity to make an impact for Christ than we have been given. So I want you right now, all of you, to hear my heart, especially those of you who are cross pointers. We cannot afford to be just another church. We can't. We've been given a stewardship. And we must be laser focused on our mission, who we are, why we're here, and what we believe we ought to be about. This is our mission statement: to help people be different by knowing Christ and growing in Christ, and to make a difference by serving Christ and sharing Christ. Would you read that with me just right now? Let's read that together. To help people be different by knowing Christ and growing in Christ, and to make a difference by serving Christ and sharing Christ. Now, please hear my heart. If you don't buy lock, stock, and barrel 100% into that mission statement, we'll never be what God wants us to be. We'll never do what God wants us to do. We will never become what God wants us to become. And I want to tell you what I believe is the single biggest danger we're facing right now as a church. Here it is. As we begin to add programming, and we are, as we begin to add ministries, and we will, as we begin to add more staff, the biggest danger of our church is we could lose sight of our main objective. We could easily forget and forsake what our real business is. Because what is our business? Here's our business. It is deep soul fishing. That's our business. Deep soul fishing. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been deep sea fishing? A lot of you have. I was amazed when I was studying about deep sea fishing the other day. Did you know that more than 2.4 million people went deep sea fishing last year? Listen to this. Deep sea fishing manufactures retail sales of $2.4 billion. It has a total economic impact on this country of $4.5 billion, and it gives jobs to 55,000 people. Now you're sitting there and you're saying, well, that's real interesting, Pastor, but what in the world does deep sea fishing have to do with our church? Well, you're going to see over the next 4 weeks that deep sea fishing is a picture of the deep soul fishing we're to be about as a church. You know, as I thought about this first day and I thought about my first message, what in the world am I going to preach? I had a smorgasbord. I had literally a buffet of things in front of me. And then one day the question hit me, what if Jesus was preaching the first time here? What if the Lord himself had said, James, if you don't mind, I'll preach that first message. Well, what in the world would Jesus see? And what in the world would Jesus say? Let me tell you what I believe he would see. I don't believe he would see a building. I believe Jesus would see a boat. And in this crowd, Jesus would see two types of people. He would see fishermen and he would see fish. And by the way, every one of you this morning are one or the other. You are either a fisher or you are a fish. Now, I have no reason to doubt that the very first thing Jesus would say on this very first service is the very first thing he said to the very first people who became his disciples. If you'll look in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, here's what we read. And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." First time he ever laid eyes on Peter, Andrew, James, John. First time he said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Now that one statement, that one sentence tells us what our primary business is, both as a church corporately and as followers of Jesus individually. And if you want to know what business I'm in and what business you're in and what business we're in, if you look in your order of service, there's a little outline. You can just fill it out and follow along with me, because I want to say three things based on what Jesus said about the fishing business. Number one, Jesus said that we are in the following business. We are in the following business. It never ceases to amaze me that the very first two words that Jesus ever said to the people who would become his disciples were, "Follow me." Now, there are two amazing things about those two words to me. Number one, what he said, and number two, why he said it. Now, think about this. He's walking along the seashore. Here are some men out there casting their net. He's never met them. They've never met him in their life. They are total strangers. He gives them no formal introduction. He doesn't present any credentials. He doesn't show them his social security card, no proof of ID, no driver's license. He just looks at them and says, "Hey, follow me." Now, can you imagine what must have gone through their minds for a split second? Follow you? I don't even know you. What do you mean, follow you? I'm reminded of a man that was walking through a cemetery one time, and on an old faded gravestone, he found this epitaph. It said, "Pause, my friend, as you go by, as you are now, so once was I, as I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me." Somebody came along and read those words on that tombstone and scratched these words underneath it. "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." And I can imagine those men must have thought the same thing. Here's a stranger saying, "Follow me." And what's more amazing is why Jesus asked them to follow him. I mean, I could understand if Jesus had said, "Hey, follow me and I will make you prosperous." I could understand if he had preached the wealth and health gospel. "You follow me, man, you'll drive a Lexus, you'll wear a Rolex, you'll live in a mansion, come follow me." I could understand that. He didn't say that. He could have said, "All right, follow me and I will make you popular. You follow me, you'll be elected president of the class. All the girls will clamor over you. You will be Miss America. Follow me, I will make you popular." He didn't say that. I could have understood if he had said, "Follow me and I will make you powerful. You follow me, you'll hold the highest office. People will bow down at your feet." I could understand that. But Jesus didn't say, "Follow me and I'll make you powerful." He didn't say, "Follow me, I'll make you prosperous. Follow me, I'll make you popular." Amazingly, he said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." A surprising statement, a frightening statement, an intimidating statement. And you can understand if they just looked at him and said, "Thanks, but no thanks." But look at their response. Look at this in verse 18. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. I mean, they were gone in 60 seconds, in the blink of an eye, in the snap of a finger, just like that. They were gone. Left home, left business, left their livelihood, left their friends, left their neighborhood, left everything they knew, everything they had done. And the Bible says, immediately, they followed him. Now listen carefully. If you want to know what a true Christian is, there it is right there. A Christian is someone who simply follows Jesus. That's all a Christian is. He is a follower of Jesus. That's where the Christian life begins, following Jesus. That's where the Christian life ends, following Jesus. A Christian is simply a follower of Jesus. But now there's another lesson we've got to learn right here. Because Jesus makes it very plain in this text. Jesus said, to follow is to fish. Followers, fish. Say that with me. Followers, fish. Say it one more time. Followers, fish. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and if Jesus told the truth, you are to be fishermen. And you know what I love about Jesus? He kept his word. Because by the end of the New Testament, guess what? Peter was fishing for men. James was fishing for men. John was fishing for men. Andrew was fishing for men. Because Jesus spent all 3 years of his ministry doing two things. Turning people into followers and followers into fishermen. Now, if you want to know why we built this building, if you want to know why we've got this property, if you want to know why we bother showing up here every single Sunday, I'm going to tell you why. We are on a mission. We want to turn people into followers and followers into fishermen. We are in the following business. Number two, if we're in the following business, then we must be in the finding business. Because you think about it. If to follow is to fish and to followers fish, then obviously you've got to find the fish because fish don't find you. I mean, it stands to reason. If we're in the following business and to follow Jesus is to fish for men, then we've got to go out and find the fish. Now, I want you to please hear this next statement. The church, this church, you ready? This church exists for the fish who have not yet been caught. This church exists for the fish who have not yet been caught. It is our job to go out, find those fish, catch those fish, and to bring those fish into the kingdom of God. Now, let me be very honest with you. I don't know a lot about fishing. I don't know about you. I like to fish only if the fish are biting. I'll be honest with you. These people who go out into the middle of a lake and sit in a boat all day, never get a bite, and come in and say, I had a great time, they need help. They really do. They need help. They need prayer. They need help. They're just, I'm telling you, their hook doesn't go all the way to the bottom. I'm telling you right now, but listen to me. I've not done a lot of fishing, but I'll tell you one thing I do know about fishing. Fish never come to the fishermen. Never. Fishermen have to go to the fish. In the book of Romans, there's a passage of scripture which is extremely logical and also very relevant. Look up on the screen and read these words. Just listen to it. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Now, if you don't mind, I want to change the wording of those verses and kind of apply it to where we are and apply it to fishing. This is the Merritt paraphrase. Whatever fish bites the bait of the gospel will be saved. But how can fish be caught without bait? How can they bite the bait unless they see it? How will they see it unless it's placed in the water? And how will the bait get into the water unless the fisherman goes to the lake? Now, I made that up. But I want you to listen carefully. That's exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying there are lakes out there full of fish. But if we don't go out there, bait our hook, put the bait in the water, find those fish, and try to catch those fish will never be caught. And now we come to the real problem. Because so many of us will leave today and we'll get into our Toyota motorboats and we'll get into our Lexus motorboats and we'll get into our Audi motorboats and we'll get into our Chevrolet motorboats and we'll get into our Ford motorboats and we'll get into our Mercedes motorboats and we'll go cruising around the lakes of our neighborhoods and the lakes of our schools and the lakes of our workplace and never even look for one fish. And we wonder why we never catch fish. There was a little boy that wanted to go down to the lake and go fishing. And his mother said, I don't mind you going down to the lake and going fishing, but she said, you got to take your little sister with you. He said, Mom, don't make me take her with me. He said, the last time she came with me, I didn't catch a single fish. And the mother said, okay, I'll talk to her, and I promise you this time, she won't make any noise. He said, Mom, it wasn't the noise. She ate my bait. Now, let me tell you, I thought about this week. I thought about the fact, why is it that most of us don't even try to find fish? Forget about the fact we don't fish. Why are we not catching fish? And I basically boiled it down to two reasons. Number one, most of us are just not looking for fish. I mean, we're cruising around the lakes of our neighborhood and our workplace and where we go to school, but we're not even looking for fish. And then secondly, when we find them, we don't fish. We never bait a hook. We never throw a line into the water. We never go fishing. Now, let me just kind of wake you up to something and really help make this applicable to where you are in your life right now. Why do you think you live where you live? Why do you think you work where you work? Why do you think you go to school where you go to school? Let me tell you why. Because God wants to take who you are, and God wants to take where you are, and God wants to place you in the lives of other people where you can follow Him, fish for them, catch some of them, and bring them into His family. Listen, your neighborhood is full of fish. Your office is full of fish. Your school is full of fish. Now, I know what some of you right there are thinking right now. You're thinking, man, I just can't fish. I don't know how to fish. I don't know the first thing about fishing. Some of you are sitting there saying, I'm just too shy to fish. I just can't do it. Listen, go back to what Jesus said. He said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I want you to forget about the fishing part right now. You just do the following part. That's where so many people miss it. You take care of the following part. He will take care of making you do the fishing. I promise you, here at Crosspoint, we are going to train you in a variety of ways on how to build relationships in a gracious, easy fashion. How to begin to fish for people in a non-offensive way. But just remember, if you get into the following business, you've got to get into the finding business. And that leads to that third point I want you to jot down. We are to be in the following business. Because of that, we're to be in the finding business. And because of that, we are in the fishing business. Now listen to what Jesus said one more time. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Has it ever occurred to you that the very first people Jesus ever called to follow him were fishermen? He didn't call carpenters to follow him. He did call a tax collector. That was later on. He didn't call accountants. He didn't call bankers. He didn't even call preachers, priests. The very first people Jesus ever called were fishermen. And the very first title he ever gave to them was fishers of men. Now I find that to be a very amazing thing, because what he basically said was this: Peter, you see what you've been doing for a living? Yes, Lord. I want you to do that for a life. What you've been doing for a living, I want you to do for a life. When Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, here's what he was saying: James, I'll take your personality, I'll take your emotional makeup, I'll take your background, I'll take your testimony, I'll take your influence, and I will use you to catch men and women and boys and girls and bring them into my family. Listen, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for this building. What a marvelous building. What a beautiful building. What a functional building. And folks, this building is loaded to the gills. No pun intended. This building is loaded to the gills with 21st century technology. I mean, we've got all the bells and all the whistles and all the gadgets and all the gadgets, and they're absolutely incredible. But I want to state what I hope is already obvious to you. You ready for this? Buildings don't reach people. Technology doesn't reach people. Bells and whistles don't reach people. gadgets and gadgets don't reach people. Only people reach people. Boats don't catch fish. Rods and reels don't catch fish. Hooks, line, and sinkers don't catch fish. Only people catch fish. And that's why the fishing business has to be our number one business. Listen, that's why the very first part of our mission statement is first base. Number one purpose. Our purpose is to help people to be different by knowing Christ. Let me tell you why. God didn't just put you here to be different. God put you here to make a difference. And my friend, I want to tell you, the greatest difference you will ever make in the life of another human being is to lead that other people to be different in their life by knowing Jesus Christ. I spoke at Promise Keepers yesterday afternoon. Touching Lives had a booth set up. There was a young man that came walking by that booth yesterday, and he stopped and he picked up one of our albums. And on that album, there was one of my sermons that I'd entitled, When God Turns the Lights On. He looked at one of our ladies working there behind the booth. He said, you see that sermon right there? She said, yes. He said, I got saved watching that on television. Would you please tell that man, my life has never been the same. She said, well, you know, I don't know if you know or not, he's speaking here this afternoon. He said, no way. I said, yeah, he just dropped it and just took off. She said, she came to me later and said, Pastor, you would not believe the glow in his eyes because of the difference that one message made in his life. Let me tell you what I realize about the people I'm talking to this morning. I realize there may be some of you here this morning. In fact, I'm sure there are. I realize there's some of you here this morning, and you may not be a follower of Jesus. You may not have never, ever surrendered your life to Jesus. And I know there's some of you sitting here, maybe you brought a person who does not know Christ, and maybe you brought that person here today, and you're sitting there thinking, dear God, why did I bring this guy today? The pastor is giving him our secret right now. I mean, I had it all set up to bait the hook, and now the pastor told him what I'm going to do. I can't believe I brought this guy today. And I know there's some of you, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're sitting there thinking, I can't believe I came here today, because I thought that's what this church was all about. They're just out there trying to get me. Well, before you pass that kind of judgment, would you think about one thing? I want you to look around. Just if you'll just look down the road to your right and your left at the people who are sitting beside you. And if you'll just look ahead at the people who are sitting in front of you, I want all of us to think about this. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, it makes no difference. We were all fish once. We were all fish once. There was a time I was a fish. I wasn't a follower. There was a time you were a fish. You weren't a follower. There was a time you were a fish. You were not a follower. You say, and let me tell you why we're so excited about what we're about here. Somebody caught me. And somebody cleaned me. And somebody changed me. And my life has never been the same. And what that fisherman did for me, we want to do for you. So we make no bones about it. Yes, we do want to catch you. We do want Christ to clean you. We do want Christ to change you. And I promise you, you will never be the same. So if you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to understand that every day, Jesus wants Cross Point fishermen to launch out into the sea of humanity and go deep soul fishing. Because the primary business of our church, the primary business of every Christian, is to be in the fishing business. And folks, the day Cross Point gets out of the fishing business, we're out of business. We're out of business. Our business is over. Now, here's what I want to do, and I'm done. I want you to close your Bibles, put down your notes and your pad and your pencil, look up here, and we're finished. I want to give you an assignment. Real easy assignment to follow. I want to give you an assignment. If you'll look in your order of service, right underneath that outline, you see the fishing business, and it says we are in the blank business. That should say, if you took good notes, it should say we're in the following business, finding business, fishing business. Right underneath that fish there, is that a fish? All right. Right underneath that fish, you see that blank line? Let me tell you what I want you to do on that blank line. I want you, if you're a follower, I want you to write down the name of somebody that you know is unchurched. Somebody that's a fish that needs to be caught. Right now, just if, you know, and listen, if you're a follower of Jesus and you say, I can't think of anybody that's not a fish, that's part of your problem. You're not going to the lake. You've got to get out there and find them. And that, listen, I promise you right now, if you're sitting there saying, well, Pastor, I just can't think of anybody right now that's a fish, let me help you. If you live in a neighborhood, does your whole neighborhood go to church? I'm going to tell you, if it does, I want to see your neighborhood. You say, well, no. Does your next door neighbor go? No, he doesn't. Well, then that's fish. I want you to write that person's name down right now. Now, here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to commit to pray, not only for that person to be open to coming to know Christ, but I want you to pray for God to give you an opportunity, as he will, to open up a door where you could begin to move that person along toward Jesus. Maybe it's giving him a book. Maybe it's just letting him know that you're praying for him. Maybe it's just saying, hey, you know, I just wanted to see if there's any way I could help you. You know, we've lived next to each other, and maybe if it's a neighbor, you know, we've lived next to each other, not haven't really talked to you a lot. Just wanted you to know if there's ever any way that me or my wife or my husband or I could minister to you, let us know. But in some way, just commit to begin to pray for that person and ask God to give you opportunities to move that person along to faith in Christ. All right, and here's the third thing. Number one, you write it down. Number two, go pray for them. Number three, real easy. I want you to invite that person to be here on September the 12th. Now, believe it or not, this is not our grand opening because we're not really ready. We still got work to do here, and we're not quite 100% yet. But we are going to be grand opening this place on September the 12th. So all I want you to do is write that person's name down, begin to pray every day for that person, and then invite that person to come on September the 12th. Now, let me just give you a little illustration of how easy it is to fish. You won't believe how easy it is. My wife is so sweet to me. My wife's sitting on the front row, Teresa. She is so good to me. She said yesterday, we were coming home from Promise Keeper. She said, you know, she said, new day, new building. We ought to get you a new outfit. I said, no. She said, no, we really ought to. I said, well, you're right. So we went out last night, bought this shirt. And she had these pants. And, I mean, everything's new. Belt, even the belt's new. So bought everything new. So we're over here at Discover Mills. We'd come over here and spend some time at the churches. I just love this place. We just came over here and just looked around. I was looking at the new sign outside and so forth. We go over to Discover Mills. We're in one of those stores. We're looking at a shirt. This young man's helping us. His name is Kaya. We get to talking. And I just, as we're talking, I said, Kaya, where are you from? He said, I'm from upstate New York. I knew he wasn't from the South. He said, I'm from upstate New York. I said, really? I said, well, what brings you down here? He said, well, I was in college in Savannah, but he said, I moved up here about 13 months ago. And I said, well, how do you like it here? He said, I really do like it. He said, you know, you people down here are really friendly. It's not like New York. You people are real friendly down here. And I said, well, that's great. I said, good. I said, do you go to church anywhere? That's all. I just asked, do you go to church anywhere? He looked at me and he said, you know, it's amazing you asked me that question. He said, I have been praying for a church. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in Lawrenceville. I said, well, Kaya, I said, I'd like to invite you to our church. He said, where's your church? I said, well, you know, across the way over here where that big Gwinnett County Civic Center sign is? He said, yes. I said, you know all that wooded area? Yeah, I know that. I said, that's our church. He said, Cross Point. I said, yeah. He said, I've driven by. I've seen that sign. I said, yeah. I said, we'd love to have you come. Now, this will bless you for the next service anyway. He said, and he's 28 years old. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, I'm a younger guy, and I said, well, so am I. He said, I hate it when people say that to me. He said, I'm a younger guy. He said, do you have like a contemporary service? I said, well, yeah, we have that at 11 o'clock. He said, you really, he's having like a praise band. Yeah, praise band. He said, well, can I come casually? I said, sure. He looked at me, shook his head. He said, you're exactly the kind of church I've been praying for. I said, well, listen, can you? He said, I can't come. He said this. I can't come tomorrow. I've got to go to work at 11 o'clock. He said, I will be there next Sunday at 11 o'clock. Now, here's all I did. I'm walking through a store, and I just have a little mentality. There's fish in here. Maybe it's the lady behind the checkout counter. Maybe it's the guy helping me pick out a shirt. Maybe it's the person over here that's folding up clothes. But there's a fish in here. This guy talks to me. I ask him two simple questions. Hey, where are you from? Where do you go to church? Boom! Drop the hook. He bites. Be there at 11 o'clock. That easy. It's not simple. Listen. If I can do that, you can do that. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, really, have I said to you today, I want you to go out, find 10 people, walk up to them, say, turn or burn? Have I said that to you? I've said that. I'm not asking you to go out and stand out on a street corner and hand out tracts. I'm not asking you to go up and down the street of your neighborhood, knock on the door, and the answer say, be at Cross Point next week or die. I'm not telling you to do that. Just in your normal course of life, dropping a hook, baiting a hook, dropping a hook, inviting people to come. Folks, on this historic first day of the first worship service on the campus of Cross Point, we've had a great beginning. Let's have a great ending. Let's go fishing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, heads bowed and eyes closed?